Good morning, everybody, to this beautiful Sunday morning. We're so glad that you joined us this morning for our service. And if you're here for the first time, we really welcome you. And we're so glad that you joined us because we really believe that God wants to speak to you this morning. And he wants to do so many things in your life. But in reality, we just welcome you to the family of God. And we're just so grateful that you joined us. I want to welcome you in this way. I want to say, welcome, beloved. And I say that because I want you to know that you are truly loved by God, who in his character, in his essence, is love itself. And I was thinking today that this is the day that the Lord who loves you made a day that you can rejoice in. And that's such a special thing to understand, that each day that we wake up, that that's a day that our Lord Jesus expresses his love for you and for me, and we can rejoice in that in this day. So won't you rejoice with me right now, and we'll pray. But before I pray, early this morning I was praying, and I prayed as I got in the shower, and all of a sudden I really felt this anxiousness in my heart, this just this anxiety, and it wasn't anything that was going on with me. And I've been walking with the Lord long enough that when something weird like that goes on with me, I know the Lord is telling me you need to pray for somebody else. So if you're out there and you're feeling really anxious, I know there's a lot to be anxious about, but I'm talking to you where you're really feeling anxious and you just can't catch your breath. The Lord wants you to know that he knows what's going on, and he wants to bring peace to you right now. And he wants to bring a calmness to your heart and your soul and to your mind. So as I pray, I'm going to pray for you too. Amen. Father, I just pray right now for our service this morning. I am so grateful that I woke up today and know that I'm your child. And that you love me so much. You made this day not only for me, but for all those around us so that you can show your love to us by all the beauty that's around us and by all the things that are going on throughout the day. You made it because you love us and you desire to see for us to see who you are. And Father, it's so great that you take such notice of us. So I pray for that person or those people that are feeling anxious in their heart, where the breath is a little bit short, not from coronavirus, but just from the anxiety and the anxiousness. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, calm their heart. Bring peace into their mind, into their heart, where they could see your soothing love is just being with them right now, and that you are just letting them down, just like the deflation of holding your breath is just, thank you, Lord. And so, Father, I believe in the name of Jesus that you're doing that for that person or those people right now. Not because of me or anything I say, it's just because you've put it on my heart to pray, and you know that person, and you love that person, and you really want them to know how much you love them by the healing and the peace that you put in their life. Thank you for doing that this morning, Lord God. We sure appreciate it. You're such a papa to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, welcome this morning. I'm glad that you're with us. And I always like to rehearse a little bit of what I spoke about last week. And last week, it just, again, seems like the coronavirus is the only thing on the news. But as I spoke last week, the Lord had really touched my heart to let me know that the battle isn't against the coronavirus. It's the battle of the soul. Because coronaviruses, any kind of viruses and sicknesses, they come and go. You and me have experienced it so much in our life that we've gotten sick and we've gotten well. And, you know, I pray for those who have really gotten terribly sick from this, and we're praying for your healing. You got to know that. Even in our fasting and prayer, we are praying for your healing because we love you. But there's a majority of us that get sick and get well, and it comes and it goes. But our soul has its eternal blessings or consequences. And that's the thing that is on God's heart, is not only the healing for your body, because he wants that too, but he wants the healing of your soul. He wants rest for your soul, and he wants you to belong to him. And so we prayed for that last week. And at the end of last week's message, if you remember, I start talking about the new normal that everybody's been saying, I've been hearing on newscasts. And I believe that the new normal was that Jesus, or people are going to be running to Jesus instead of away from Jesus. And they're going to be coming together as families and friends and sitting down for dinner and having that fellowship, because that's what God's all about. That's who He is. He brings us together and does not separate us as a body. And so as I have prayed about that and watched that, the Lord gave me the same word this week, is to go into the new norm. And we really want to talk about that this morning as we look at the new norm and what the Bible says about the new norm. But I was thinking, what is that new norm? And I want to show you a little picture what the new norm is not. As you see my wife on the screen, we had a time to walk, and we were going up to Marina Del Rey. We're actually going up to Malibu. And then on the way to the beach, I got this emergency notice that said, Malibu beaches are closed, and I was sure somebody was following me. And so we decided to stop at Venice Beach and Marina Del Rey, and we found this wonderful place to walk, and we started walking along this river, and then you see we got to take this picture. And as my wife wore her mask and I wore my mask, and she had her blue gloves on, I said, this is not the new norm. This is not what we're going to do. I love to hold your hand, honey, and I'm not going to kiss you through a mask, okay? So that is not the new norm. So we're going to talk about the new norm and figure out together what the new norm is. And we're going to look at different people in the Bible, because I was wondering, Lord, what is the new norm going to be? And as I was praying, He said, well, look at the places that God has really put the new norm and where He wanted to go with the new norm. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So as we take a look at those in the Bible where these major events are going on, there's three major events that I'm going to talk about this morning where God is bringing a people to a new norm. And I know today that we're talking about the new norm that is going to go on through this coronavirus aspect, or the way that we're going to come back into the economy, because the economy has went down so much. But I believe that there's a new norm that the Lord wants us to walk in. No matter what the economy is, no matter what sicknesses are going around, there is a new norm that the Lord wants us to walk in. And so we're going to be taking a look at some people in the Bible and some situations and explore old norms versus new norms. And the first person we're going to start off with is in the Old Testament. And we're going to start off with Abram, as we know, who has become Abraham. And first we've got to look at, well, what was Abraham's old norm? Well, Abraham came from the Ur of the Chaldeans. And this was a place that the Chaldeans were a group of people that worshipped different gods. One of the main gods that they worshipped, it was a moon god called Nana. Not Nanny, but Nana. And it always had to deal with their crops and their herds and everything like that. And actually in the city of Ur of Chaldeans where Abraham lived, they actually built a ziggurat, I believe it what it is called. And it's a rectangular stair place where they usually have a temple on the top of it. And they said it's where they probably got its influence from the Tower of Babel. And we know how much God liked that one. But in Joshua 24, verse 2, when Joshua is rehearsing the history of Israel, he says in there that Terah was the father of Abraham and Nahor, and they all were worshiping false gods. So we see that Abraham came from a group of people that was worshiping other gods besides the God. And then God showed up. And God had showed up and spoke to Abraham specifically and called him out from his family, from what he was used to, from his land. And He called him to a new place. And in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, It says, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the place where I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I'll make you famous. And I will be a blessing, and you will be a blessing to others. And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed for you. But sometimes to start a new norm, you have to be pulled away from all that is familiar. And I got to tell you today, or in this last month, we have really been pulled away from that which is familiar to us. And that is a place to begin a new norm. And so in this new norms don't come naturally. They take some time to practice until they become norms. And Abraham was learning how to walk in this new norm, because at that time when he worshiped other gods, false gods don't speak to you. They don't say things to you. And then just then the Lord God Almighty spoke to him and he began following the Lord. You got to understand how new that is to him. And to begin to learn to trust this God who has been speaking to him. And so he had to learn how to trust as he moved away from his land, his family, and all that was meaningful to him. He had to trust God with his provision. In moving to a new land, you had to get some land. He had to trust God with his wife. And instead of having his wife go to the king and say that he's his sister, he had to trust God that God is going to protect him and his family. He had to trust God with Isaac, his son, who the promise of all blessing was supposed to come through. And God had asked him to sacrifice his son to show his commitment to God. And we know that God had came to his rescue and didn't allow him to sacrifice his son. But he had to trust God in walking in these new norms in places he's not been before and listening to the voice of God that is new to his hearing. So it is a process that we have to walk through in experiencing these new norms. And as God in his graciousness has walked Abraham through this new norm, he brought him to a place where he said, okay, now I'm going to show you what the new norm looks like. And it says in Genesis chapter 17, it says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. And I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. And in verse 7 he says, I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. This will be the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Now this is a great and exciting covenant. Two things that we see here is because God has came to Abraham when he was 99 years old. So there's no lack of time to follow after God. And he says, I'm making a covenant with you. You are going to be my people, and I'm going to be your God. And what has to happen from there is that people have to learn how to follow this new God, all Abraham's descendants. And so now we move from Abraham, and we move to the nation of Israel. And they were coming into a new norm also, but we have to look at their old norm. Who were they and where were they when God had came to the rescue? And we know that they were in bondage in Egypt. And God, even when he made his covenant with Abraham, he gave him a vision and said that your people are going to be in bondage for 400 years. And Egypt is where they were. And you know what their crime was? They were being fruitful and multiplying. And the Pharaoh of that time, who didn't know Joseph, was very worried that this was going to be a people that was going to overpopulate and then one day turn against them. So he had his men begin to treat them as slaves and to treat them harshly. not only that, that they started killing off all the male boys that were being born. And they were having the midwives, the Jewish midwives, saying, I want you to kill any boy come out and let any girl live that comes out. And the midwives said, no, no, they trusted God more. So what they did instead is they start drowning these new born boys so that they wouldn't grow up and populate the area. Do you know what, though? In the midst of all this, God came to their rescue. But God heard their cry. And what he did is he sent this little baby and set him in the midst of Pharaoh's household. And when Pharaoh's daughter came to her bathing place, she saw the baby and she got the baby out. And she's the one that named him Moses. But God heard the cry of his people and he came down to rescue them. And in Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, he was having a conversation with this 80-year-old man who was Moses, all grown up. And he said to Moses, I certainly have seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt to their own fertile and spacious ground. And then in verse 10, he says to Moses, now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my Israel out of Egypt. And I thought, well, that is good news to us for a couple of reasons. One is because God hears our cry, and he will come and rescue us at the particular point that he has determined. And the second thing is that no matter how old you are, he may send you to be the rescuer. He may use you to do his bidding and to do his work. And so, again, like Abraham, it really doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. God may use you in bringing people to a new norm that God wants to have for his own people. Now, listen, working your way to a new norm isn't always easy. And as a matter of fact, it wasn't long after God delivered Israel out of Egypt that Israel began to grumble and they wanted to go back to the old norm. And I think they had a memory loss or something was going on in their head because they were 400 years of slavery. But I was thinking, why? Why would they be so wanting to go back to the old norm? And I think some of it is the fear of the unknown. I know that as the Egyptians were chasing them and they saw the Red Sea in front of them, there was great fear there. Even though they had the pillar of fire and the cloud that was leading them, God in their midst. But sometimes it's the unknown also that brings us fear. Even what we may be facing today, the unknown. Sometimes it's the stomach. And I'll get to that in a second. And they had no trust in God or his leader. And they had a faulty memory because it was just 1 month when they really began grumbling. After God had delivered them through the Red Sea, just get that, God had delivered them through the Red Sea, they began grumbling once again. And Exodus 16 tells us that their stomachs began to speak louder than God's voice. Now, it didn't actually say that, but this is what's going to go on because I'll read the scripture to you. It says, there too the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat, and we always had enough bread to eat. But now you have brought us into the wilderness to starve us to death. I got a question for you. How many of you have stomachs that sometimes speak louder to you than God's word. Or something physical, when God calls you to do something, and you say, oh, but it might do this to me. Well, at that time, their stomach was speaking louder than God's word. And how many of you have a faulty memory, like the Israelites did, that you say, you know, I'm tired of going this way. If I could just go back to the good old life. Now, let me ask you, was your life so good? Why did you come to Jesus for in the first place? Do you really want to go back to the way that your old life was? I don't think so. At least I don't want to go back there, because I know where I've come from and I know where God has led me. And he's led me into many new norms in my life as I go and walk after him. But God's always extremely patient with us. Isn't he patient with you? He's patient with me. There's so many things I fumble up on along the way as I learn to walk in the new norm that the Lord has given me. And so, but God was so patient to him. He built trust in Israel. He led them through so many different things, and so that they could learn the new norm. And now he has brought them to a place, just like he brought Abraham to a place in time. And he was going to say, now this is the new norm. And he brought him to Mount Sinai. And we know that Moses went up and got the Ten Commandments. But here's what the Lord said in Exodus 20, verse 2. God had to first remind him who he is and what he had done. And he says, I am the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of slavery. And then he began to lay out through the Ten Commandments what the new norm is going to look like. Just think of it for a second. They've been living 400 years in a place that has worshipped other gods. They've been under slavery and harsh treatment. And God was bringing them out, and he had to show them a new lifestyle, a new way to live, coming into a new norm, because one day they were going to be the representatives of God to the rest of the world. They were going to represent what God's character was to the rest of the world. They were going to represent what God's love was like to the rest of the world. They were going to represent what God's power was like to the rest of the world. And so God had to begin to lead them and show them what this new norm is. And I believe that God is going to do that for us in the times that we're facing right now. And we always know that the Old Testament points to the New Testament. They fit so well together. You can't have one without the other. But the Old Testament points to the New Testament. And so we want to look at what the church was like in Jesus' time. And here's a couple things that we know about them. That they were still under the law, the Ten Commandments law. They were still under that law, and they were still under a Roman slavery. So they were a slave to the Roman. And the worst thing yet is that they were still a slave to their own sin nature. And that one was the worst of all. And so he was going to lead them and show them what the new norm is supposed to look like. And when they were facing all these things, like God sent Moses, God sent Jesus to the rescue. And he came at the right time in history to rescue God's people and to deliver them from their worst enemy, from what I said is their sinful nature. Slavery will come and go. The law, that was set to lead them to Jesus. But that sin nature is what they needed to go away from and to be delivered from. But Paul tells us, because God had sent his son Jesus to deliver them, he says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Isn't that exciting? He purchased our freedom and forgave us our sins. We're no longer living in the kingdom of darkness. but we are living in the kingdom of the Son of His love. Amen? Now, again, new norms don't come easy. The church is on this journey. God was making a new covenant with man through His Son Jesus, a covenant that was no longer going to be written on tabs of stone, but was now going to be written on man's heart. And Jesus gives them just a taste of what this new norm was going to be. Jesus had been walking with the disciples for 3 years now, and He's bringing them to this new norm. And here's what He says in John chapter 15. He says, "This is My commandment. Love each other in the same way I've loved you. There is no greater love than to lay one's life for one's friend, or lay down one's life for one's friend. You are My friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because a master does not confide in his slaves. Now you are My friends since I have told you everything that the Father told Me." It is a new intimacy with God that they've never experienced before. And Jesus was leading them into this intimacy by the intimacy that He had with His own disciples. And later on, this intimacy is going to be revealed through the Holy Spirit that God is going to send to live in us, so that we can have this intimate connection with God and we can call Him Abba, Father. I love praying like that. The other day I was praying, and this pastor I was praying with said, "I notice that you call God Papa. I want you to know that I'm so blessed with that." And I said, "Well, you know what? It reminded me of one of our missionary friends, their son that was coming to see us. He was stuck in the airport. And while he was in the airport, he lost his wallet," and he was referring this story to me. "And he told me that he had lost his wallet, and he said, 'Daddy, can you please help me find my wallet?' And I said, 'Daddy, wow, that was intimate.' And what happened? He found his wallet. So now we have that opportunity to experience that intimacy, and we call him Daddy. We can call him Papa, Abba Father. So that is so wonderful as Jesus is showing that new intimacy with His disciples. Now listen, the new norm is seldom easy to live out, but it's always the right thing to do before God as God is leading us. But you know what? During that time, it seems like some of the disciples of Jesus even wanted to go back to the old norm. After Jesus had died on the cross and He rose from the dead and He appeared to His disciples, and He wasn't with them at the time, but Peter and John and the disciples were down at the sea, and Peter suggested to His disciples, or to the other disciples, "You know what? I'm going to go back to the old norm. I'm going to go fishing." And the other disciples, yeah, let's go. We'll go with you fishing." And they went fishing, and they went fishing all night. In the morning, they came back with empty nets. And I thought about that for a second, and I thought, you know what? When we go back, or try to go back to our old norm, it will only leave us empty like the nets of the disciples. There's nothing back there for us. God wants to show us a new norm, even as we go along in life. And He wants to make us full, not empty netted. Amen? But again, God in His graciousness leads us along the way. And He's going to talk to Peter right now. And He's going to show Peter what is going to be the new norm of his life. As He tells us in John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19. He says to Peter, "I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, they're going to stretch out your hands, and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." Do you feel like that's happening to you today? That a lot of people are taking you to places that you don't want to go and making you be places that you don't want to be. And Jesus said to let him know what kind of death he was going to glorify God in. And then at the end of that, he said, Jesus told him to follow me. And I was thinking, what is an example of that today? And I was looking through the internet, and I saw this one story about this lady who was old and really followed God. And as I read it, it really reminded me of my sister. And this situation reminded me of my oldest sister, Linda. And you know what? When she was 30 years old, she was a beautiful young lady living in Hawaii. And she got MS, muscular sclerosis. And she began to have a lot of new normals in her life. She was fine for a while, but then she had to start walking on her cane. That was a new normal. And then she had to start walking with a walker, a new normal. And then at the age of 49, her husband got Parkinson's disease of the mind. And it sent him downhill very quickly. And the new norm was, is that my sister was walking with her walker, and now she had to pull the 6'5" husband into the car. And as time went on, she had to clean the mess ups on the floor and deal with the hallucinations and things. And she became less able to walk on her walker and more having to go in her wheelchair. Yet she was still taking care of her husband. And when he would fall down, she was too weak to even pick herself up, and she would have to call the fire department down the street to come and pick him up. And it was at 62, about 12 years later, when he passed away, a new norm that my sister is to live with. She's still confined to her wheelchair now, but she travels more than anybody I've seen in her car and visits family more than I've ever seen. She was in a gym one time, and these ladies were complaining about their husbands when her husband was still alive. And they were complaining about these little things. And they said, Linda, what about you? And Linda told them her story. And they said to Linda, I'll never go home and complain to my husband again. And I asked my sister, because every day she's in pain, I said, Linda, how do you do it? And she said, I trust God for one day at a time. See, her new norm was walking through all these new norms, but like Jesus told Peter, my sister Linda, follow Jesus. Amen? And so the new norm that we come into, whatever that looks like, Jesus is still asking us to follow him. Here's the exciting point. Jesus died and was resurrected. And the realization of this new norm is coming to fruition. In Acts chapter 2, Pentecost Sunday, where there was 120 disciples praying up in the upper room, and they were together, and then the Holy Spirit came and filled the whole place, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were speaking in tongues, and this was a new norm that God had promised through his son Jesus, and that Jesus had told his disciples that it was going to happen. And in verses 17 through 21, Peter came out from this place and he began to speak to the crowds that had come in from all over the place, saying, listen, this is what the new norm is now. As he was quoting the Old Testament prophet Joel, and this is what he said, listen very carefully. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. And in those days I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before the great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know what? That was the new thing that was going to go on, but they had to begin to live it out. And we find out in verses 42 through 47 that the church, the new church, began to live out this new norm. And look at what the new norm was. He said, all the believers were in verses 42 through 47. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property, their possessions, and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple day by day, and met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared meals with great joy and generosity. And while they were praising God and enjoying the favor of man, it says that God added to their numbers each day. Do you see how they were living out the new norm that God had set before them? God had prepared them for it through His Son Jesus, and now He's given them the Holy Spirit, and the new norm has taken place. And we see what has happened with their lives from there as we go through the New Testament. I believe God has brought us to another point in time and history where God is bringing the church to a new norm. I know many of you think that God has put on the pause button because nothing's going on and nobody's going anywhere. But this is a great time that I believe that God is telling us to take stock in our faith and our trust in Him, to get us ready for the new norm that we're going to have to live as we walk in this new relationship with Him, in the new society that we're living in. We know a lot of other people are telling you what the new norm is supposed to look like, but we want to pay attention to what God's new norm is supposed to look like. Regardless of how soon the Lord is coming back, and I do believe He's coming soon, will He find us living in such a way that is pleasing to God that He gave us through the example of His Son Jesus and through His Word? We cannot go back to the old norm, and I don't believe that we want to. Just to ask you a question, were you satisfied with your old norm in the way that you were worshiping the Lord? Were you satisfied with your own norm in the way that you were bringing God to your family and to your friends? Were you satisfied with your own norm in the way you were personally living after Him? I never am, and I want to grow closer each day. And I believe that God wants us to all join in that. And what an exciting time to live in, because the words of Joel are just as true today as that were when Joel spoke them and when Peter spoke them to Israel at that time. They're still true today because we serve the same God. But it has to be engulfed in this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. It has to be engulfed in that love. And as I was contemplating, I said, okay, Lord, what is the new norm? How should we be living? What, no matter what the situation is, what is the way that we should be living after you? And He led me to the scripture in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. And this scripture gives us the nice structure to build on. You know, because before you build a house, you have to have the solid structure. And I believe that these verses will tell us the solid structure in which we're going to have to live these new ways under. Let me read it to you. You know, I was thinking about paraphrasing it, but each word here is so important. It says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with a genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Be great at showing hospitality to them. bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them, but pray for God to bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Another version says, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with everybody. It says, don't be too proud to enjoy company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil for evil, but do things in such a way that everyone will see that you're an honorable person. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that righteous anger of God. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are first thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. The Lord will show us all the ways to live out these new ways. And I believe that the church is going to rise up and they're going to come together and they're going to be walking in such a fashion that these ways will be evident to everybody around us. I believe that the church is going to be more strong and more focused on what is important to God. And that's to love God and love your family and love your neighbors better. Today, we're going to share communion together. And when we share communion, we get to celebrate that through Jesus Christ, that God has allowed us to live a new norm. Now, family, we're going into a season. We're already living it right now, but we're going into a season where God's going to call us to live a new norm. And I want you to be ready for it. I want you to be prepared in prayer, in obedience, because that's what it's going to take. I'm not promising it's going to be easy, but it's going to be glorious because the Lord is leading us there. And it's because of what Jesus did on the cross that allows us the strength and the Holy Spirit to live this new norm. So let's pray, and then I'm going to serve communion. Amen? Father, I just thank you right now. I thank you that we see through your scriptures on how you led people to live a new norm in their life. It was never like the life before, and it was always better. It was always better towards you, Lord God, and loving you more and following you more and being obedient to you more than we were ever before. And Father, you're taking us through this season right now. And so, Father, I believe that you're going to raise your church up, and we're going to stand together when it's time, Lord Jesus. And we're going to walk together in faithfulness to you, in obedience to who God calls us to be obedient to in our government, Father, and we'll be obedient to God first, Lord, because you're whom we want to obey. And so, Father, would you help us walk in that new norm? Would you guide us and lead us like you've done so many times to your nation, to the nations before us? And Father, would you bless this nation now? Would you help the president and all who are in authority to bring us together as a nation, to walk this new norm together and not separately, Lord God, to walk in a place of worship and in prayer and churches gathering together and families gathering together, not in heartache and separation and all the things that have been coming with this. Let it be prosperous, Lord God, as people will get back to work. Would you do that for people, Lord God? Don't lead us back to the old norm, Lord. Lead us back to the new norm. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, isn't it amazing that when we were the most down and out, that God sent his son Jesus to rescue us? He not only rescued us, he was an example how to live the new norm after the Lord God. And he paid the price so that we can walk in that new norm. And when he was with his disciples at the Last Supper, and he knew where he was going, he knew where he'd come from, and he's sharing this Last Supper with his disciples, we walk with for 3.5 years, sharing this new norm, and it's shared through his word with us. He gave thanks to his Father, and I'm going to set this here. And he broke the bread. And he said to his disciples, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Whenever you eat this, do this in remembrance of me." So right now, can you take the cracker as we remember Jesus and what he's done for us? Let's eat together. And again, he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "This is my blood. It's the blood of the new covenant. This blood has been shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink this, remember me. And when you come, and as often as you come together, remember me until I come back." So Lord Jesus, we remember the forgiveness that is coming from your blood that was shed on the cross for us and the new norm that we got to live in freedom because of it. Let's drink together. Thank you, saints. And I want to remind all you watching, if you need prayer, there's a prayer button for you to push right there. If today you said, "I need that new norm," and you don't belong to Jesus Christ yet, there's a little button on there that says, "I want Jesus today. I want to follow him today." And can I just share a quick prayer for you right now? If you push that button, Jesus loves you and he wants you to live a new norm, but you can only live that in Christ Jesus. It's only through what he's done for you on the cross and as a resurrection that you can even begin to live this new norm. So let me pray for you, Father. For those who are pushing the button right now, for those who are saying, "Yes, I need you, Jesus, in my life right now," for those who say that, "I want to follow after you and I want you to be my Lord, my God," would you come into their life right now? Would you save their soul, Lord God? Would you bring them into your family and guard them against the lies of the enemy that says this is all there is? Would you bless them with your richness of your provision and your love and your care? And Father, may they come to a place of intimacy where they can call you Abba Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. We love you so much. We look forward to seeing you next week. We look forward to the time that we can all gather together, and we believe it's coming soon. God bless you in Jesus' name.